Welcome to Parshas Shavua. This is Parshas, the week of Parshas Bamidbar, which we're going to focus on a little bit, but also its connection to Shavuos. Next week, on Wednesday and Thursday, is the Yontif of Shavuos. We probably won't do a podcast next week, a Parsha podcast, so we'll include Shavuos in today's Shiur as well. So, the system of our calendar is that we always read Parshas Bamidbar before Shavuos. Sometimes Nosoi as well, but most years it's only Bamidbar, which comes before Shavuos. The simple halachic reason that is given is that we want a break between Bechukosai and Shavuos. Shavuos starts a new era. Shavuos starts a time that we are judged on the fruit of the tree. We learn also we are newly committed to the Torah. And as a preparation, we read Bechukosai, which has in it the Toichacha, which was just last week's parsha, the rebuke from Hashem and the warnings for all the things that might happen to us if we don't listen to Hashem, an important part of the Torah, but a very sharp part, and therefore we kind of break. We don't want to go from Bechukosai straight into Shavuos, so we break with Parshas Bamidbar. The similar thing Halacha tells us about reading Nitzovim before Rosh Hashanah, because in Parshas Kisove we read about the Toichacha, even a longer Toichacha, as a preparation of tshuva to the new year, but we don't want to go straight from the Toichacha into Rosh Hashanah, so we break with a parsha of Nitzavim, which is the true and simple halachic reason. However, we know that everything in Torah happens specifically. In fact, everything in the world happens with a purpose. Nothing is by chance. But if it is for that reason, but it comes out that it is specifically the parsha of Bamidbar that is read before Shavuos, and that's a Torah concept, there must be another lesson. There must be something intrinsically connected to Shavuos and to Matan Torah in the parsha of Bamidbar. And there are many, and I'm going to share with you a few different ideas. One is that we, Mefarshim tell us that Bamidbar means the word desert, right? So, and the Torah was given in a desert. So just that very fact that we read Bamidbar and the story begins, the mitzvah to count the Jews, as it's explained in Bamidbar, was a communication that Hashem had with Moshe Rabbeinu b'midbar Sinai, in the Midbar. And that, of course, is connected to the Torah, because the Torah was given in the Midbar. Why was the Torah given in the Midbar? There are many reasons. One is that to show us that Torah is accessible. Just like a Midbar, a desert is a place that is ownerless. If someone finds a lost article in a Midbar, he may keep it or she may keep it because it doesn't obviously doesn't belong to anyone. So too, the Torah does not belong to anyone. The Torah is completely accessible. No one has a monopoly on Torah. Everyone can learn Torah. Torah is accessible to each single person, and we should take advantage of that and learn the Torah. Another reason, however, is that the Midbar is a symbol of humility. It's a symbol of humility. Because it's a place nothing grows, there's no expression of any sort of independent existence there. There's only earth. Earth is also a symbol of downtroddenness and could be a symbol of healthy humility. Emptiness, but a healthy emptiness, that we understand that we are nothing without Hashem, nothing without the connection to Hashem. We know that a prerequisite to Torah, a prerequisite to learning Torah, is humility. We say this every day in Shmona Esra, at the end of the Amidah, in the Elokai Notzor, we say, V'nafshi ko'ofor la'koil tia, my soul should be like dust to everyone, which is an extreme expression of being humble. And then right away we say, P'sach libi b'sor asecha, open up my heart in your Torah. Torah is a divine wisdom. Torah is a gift to us. Torah is something that really transcends the human brain and the human rationale and the human logic. However, Hashem has given us the Torah and allowed us to explore His wisdom. He's allowed us to go into understanding the teachings that He teaches us, which are really transcendent. It's a transcendent wisdom which Hashem clothed and packaged in a way that we can understand. But in order for us to absorb it properly and to understand its truth and its authentic messages without distorting it, we have to be humble. To really connect to Torah, which is a divine wisdom, not just like any other subject, we really have to have humility, and we have to make room for something greater than ourselves, which is why humility is such an important prerequisite to learning Torah and to being connected to the Torah. Now, I want to just take this idea before we come to another concept in Parshas Bamidbar. I want to take this idea and connected to a very beautiful concept that the Kedushas Levi, the Baditshuva Rav, says about Matan Torah and about the preparation of Matan Torah. So you know that one of the things that we do also to prepare for Shavuos, to prepare for Matan Torah, is the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. We're coming to an end. That one of the whole reasons of the Yom Tov of Shavuos in the Torah, where it's not actually explicitly mentioned that Shavuos has anything to do with giving the Torah, is that it's the end and the siyum, so to speak, of the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. What is the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer? So we know in Kabbalah and the Hasidic teachings, it is very much emphasized that the concept of Sfiras Omer is the concept of self-refinement, where we take the seven midos, the 7 weeks which represent the 7 midos, that we have the 7 emotional responses, that we have the 7 parts of our personality, chesed, gevura, tiferes, and so on, and we work with them, we refine them, we elevate them. Now, what does it mean to work and elevate our personality? Obviously, it means sometimes to take the toxic emotions and to move them towards something of purpose, something of meaning, but essentially, it really goes down to the very essence of dealing with our ego. In other words, we all have a set of emotions, and those emotions can be expressed in many, many different ways. Sometimes they can be expressed in very selfish ways, very toxic ways, and normally those selfish and toxic ways of expressing our personality is when they're based on our own egocentricity, our own ego. So we have the Sfiras Omer, the time of Sfiras Omer, we work with our ego, we become more humble, we refine the egocentricity of our personality, making room for a higher purpose, making room for Hashem, making room for something else that other than ourselves, a higher purpose, a higher calling, a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that the midos, the personality traits, become more refined and they become more directed towards Hashem. Now, a very important part of that, and a very important distinction when our personality traits are refined and for a higher purpose other than just being a selfish expression of self, is the ability to integrate the various midos. So for example, if someone gets trapped in their own egocentricity and their personality happens to be one, let's say, of chesed, their kindness. Now there's a second trait, for example, gvura, which is discipline, self-control. Chesed is more giving. Now, it can be a negative giving, it can be indulgent. The chesed person, the unrefined chesed person, as good as chesed is, but the unrefined chesed person, which is doing chesed more out of an expression of self, cannot integrate gevura, because gevura means going against his or her personality, and therefore can only be chesed. Gevura, the person who is very rigid and self-disciplined, perhaps can even be good gevura, can be very organized, can be very disciplined, but finds it difficult to go out of themselves to do chesed for other people because that's a different trait. So one of the ideas of Sfiras Omer is, you know, we talk about chesed of gevura, gevura of chesed, malchus of hoyd, hoyd of malchus, all these different kinds of things that we talk about throughout the weeks. As those who know, when you count Sfira, that talks about that at the end of the tefillah, we say after Sfiras Omer, is about the ability to integrate and to bring the various midas into each other so we can work with both. Just let me give you a simple example. I always say that parenting is really a process of self-development. Why? Because we know that in parenting you need chesed and gevura together. So we have the chesed parent who can never say no. Can never say no. They do. They always say yes. They always give. They always just pour love over their children. Only love, which is a good thing to do, by the way. But only love, no gevura. You spoil the child. Then there's a parent who naturally is very gevura, very strict, very harsh. You kill the child. Parenting can only be successful when there's chesed and gevura together, where there's a structure, where there's limits, where there's rules. That's gevura, combined with an outpouring of love, amazing love, unconditional love, and so on and so forth. What do you do if you have a disposition to one or the other? That's self-development, because we realize it's not about ourselves. It's about doing what is necessary for the other, doing what is necessary to bring up a healthy child. So therefore we do chesed and gevurah together. The same thing is in avodas Hashem. There are certain times that we work with chesed. That's about the love of Hashem and the excitement of a mitzvah. But also there's a concept of halacha, being strict about the specific halachas of the mitzvah. That's more of a gevurah thing. We need to combine both. Now, the Kedushas Levi says an amazing thing. And I just want to share this to you because I thought this was the most amazing concept. It says, Chazal tell us that in the Torah it says, Usfartem lochem mimocharas haShabbos. You should count the sphira from the day after Shabbos. We know the famous debate, the Tzedukim, the Sadducees, those who were against Torah Shabbat Peh, those who were heretics, but only kept the written Torah, said that it Shavuos must be on a Sunday because Sfiras Omer must always start on a Sunday because the Torah says Mimocharas HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos. Day after Shabbos. Therefore, it'll always be on a Sunday. We know that in Torah Shabbat Peh we learn that it's not true. In Torah Shabbat Peh we learn that it is possible for Shavuos to be other days of the week because Sfiras Omer means it's the second day of Pesach. What the Torah means by Shabbos, it actually is referring to the Yontif of Pesach. And therefore, Sfiras Omer can be on a different day. So the Kedushas Levi explains, what is the Machlokes go? He says like this. That we know that there are seven middos. The seven middos, the seven personality traits, also correspond to the 7 days of the week. So we have the Sunday is Ahava, love. Monday is Yiro, which is more fear, Gevurah, and the other mitzvahs. And of course, we know that the way we serve Hashem is we integrate them. So love can go together with fear. Fear can go together with love and all the other middos. However, he points out the apikursim, the heretics, who have not refined or don't believe in Hashem in the proper way, in the full way, they don't believe that the middos go together. They believe that they are work independently and they do not integrate. They don't have this concept of integration of the middos because with each other because they haven't made room for a higher power that can combine the two opposites or the many opposites. So he says the following. Shavuos is a symbol of Hashem's love. In fact, he doesn't say this, but many Mefarshim explain that when the Torah says that Hashem held the mountain over our head, in Kabbalah, mountain is a symbol of love. Hashem showed unbelievable love. Therefore, come along the Tzedukim and say, if that's our emunah, if we believe that Hashem gave the Torah at Har Sinai, we believe that Hashem showered us with the love of Torah, and in fact, we know that the day of Shavuos was like a marriage between Hashem and the Jewish people. Shavuos must happen on a Sunday because Sunday is the middah of love, and love has no place in the other days of the week. It's only on Sunday because each middah only has its thing and there's no integration. However, the Torah tells us no. The Torah Shabbat Peh tells us no. The whole point of Sfiras Omer is refining our middahs. The whole point of Sfiras Omer is learning to refine and to elevate our middahs that they could work with each other, that there could be integration with each other, interaction with each other. And therefore, yes, it's true, of course, Shavuos is about love, but that love can take place on other days. That love can integrate with other middahs, and therefore Shavuos does not have to be on a Sunday. And therefore, Sfiras Omer does not have to begin on a Sunday. The first sphere, of course, being Aliyah of Chesed. Because they work with each other and they work together with each other, and therefore the Torah Shabbat Peh tells us no. Mimocharas HaShabbos is all, of course, Sfiras Omer is all leading up to Shavuos, the day of Matan Torah, but that which is the love of Hashem, but that love can take place together with other midos, and therefore Shavuos can be on any other day, does not have to be on a Sunday. Which goes back to what we explained before, that the Sfiras Omer is all a pathway, a preparation for Matan Torah, because it's about becoming humble. It's about dealing with the ego so that we make place for something other than ourself, which is also included in that, is the concept of being able to integrate the midos with each other. I want to share with you another idea behind this parsha, which also, of course, connects with the idea of Matan Torah. The Torah, Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, and he told him the mitzvah of counting the Jewish people. Why does Hashem tell to count the Jewish people? By the way, it wasn't the only time. There are a few times in the Midbar they were counted, when they left Mitzrayim, the few times they were counted. So the Medrash says that the Jewish people are compared to an arema, like a big heap of wheat. And when a person farms and a person harvests, because it's very important to them what they have, it's very beloved to them, their harvest that they've worked hard for, they store their grain in a counted way. They make sure to count how much they've got, what the measurement is, so they know what their wealth is. So too, Hashem loves the Jewish people, so He counts them all the time. However, the question, the obvious question is, that's okay with a person who harvests wheat or has something of great treasure, that he keeps on counting to know what is there and how much he has, because he doesn't actually know how much it is. Therefore, he has to count it. Right? But Hashem, and why does he count it? Because it's important to him. But to Hashem, the Jewish people are important. But therefore, he doesn't have to count us, because Hashem obviously always knows why we are counted, how much we are. So therefore, what does that mean, that he counts us because we are precious? We only count things that are precious because we need to know how much is there. Hashem knows how much is there. The great Shalom explains, based on a halacha in the Gemara. Halacha talks about the idea, we have this principle in halacha that sometimes when something non-kosher falls into something kosher, we have this idea of bitul, that the non-kosher thing, if it's falls into a greater quantity, a much greater quantity of something that is kosher, it could become bottled, it could become nullified, neutralized, so to speak, right? But then the Gemara tells us there are certain things that are not neutralized, certain things that cannot become bottled, which is dovar shebeminyan loy bottle. Something that is normally sold, for example, when you go into a store, you might ask for a bag of beans or a pound of beans, right? You don't ask for 27 beans or 135 beans, because beans are very small and they just get sold by the weight and volume and so on and so forth. A bag of this, a sack of that. But there are certain things that are sold by number, because obviously they're more expensive, they're more worth it, they're more valuable. Nowadays, I guess a example of that would be eggs, right? You don't ask for a pound of eggs, you ask for a dozen eggs, 12 eggs, 2 dozen eggs, and so on. Says the Gemara, Dover Shibaminyan, a thing that has that much value that it is only sold by counting it, if it's in that form of the way it's counted, it cannot become bottle. One can be in 1,000 and it still does not become bottle, and all the halachic consequences that follow on from that. Says the Shalom, the reason why Hashem counts the Jewish people, because Dover Shibaminyan. We know that the Jewish people are one lamb among 70 nations. And therefore, because we are one lamb among 70 nations, we can become bottle, we can become insignificant, we become neutralized. So Hashem counts us. And He says, no, you are a Dovra Shebaminyan, you're a counted entity. And a counted entity can never become bottle. That's why Hashem counts the Jewish people. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe, in a talk in the Sikh on this, asks on the Shalom, and he says, but hold on. Again, it doesn't seem to work. The whole idea of counting, the whole idea why something that is counted is not bottled, is because something that is counted is valuable. The fact that we count it is a symbol that it's valuable. The Jewish people is valuable without counting it. There's no need to count it. Hashem has this insignificant, we are a counted people without counting us. We don't need to be counted to reveal our value. The fact that Hashem, we are precious to Hashem, and Hashem always knows how many of us there are, and Hashem gives us this intrinsic value, means we are already important. It's not the counting that makes the thing important. It's the counting that the Gemara talks about that is a symbol of its importance. And therefore, again, we are important without counting us, because Hashem doesn't need to count us. And therefore, again, the question comes back, why do we need to count? So the Rebbe explains the following idea, and again, this connects to Matan Torah. We always read Bamidbar, we always read this idea of counting before the giving of the Torah. There's the famous question. The famous question is, what did Matan Torah actually accomplish? We've talked about this many times. People learned Torah before Matan Torah. People learned Torah, kept the Torah before Matan Torah. Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, the Ovos, the Imois, other people, they kept the mitzvahs, they kept the Torah. Avraham Avinu gave matzah to the Malachim. So many different things we find about the Ovos keeping the Torah even before the Torah was given. So what was the accomplishment? What was the chiddush? What happened when the Torah was given? What's so special? And the famous idea behind it is the following. Yes, there was Torah before. Yes, there was mitzvahs before. But what happened about Matan Torah is that before Matan Torah, the world was not ready for the Torah and mitzvahs actually to have an impact on the world. this idea of Torah mitzvahs elevating the world. So, for example, mezuzah might have happened before Matan Torah, but it didn't change the parchment. Today, if you write a mezuzah on a piece of parchment, the parchment becomes holy. It becomes something different. It becomes more refined. The whole idea of Matan Torah and the whole purpose of Matan Torah is not just to learn Torah and keep mitzvahs, but the learning Torah and keeping mitzvahs should elevate the world, should be absorbed in the universe, should be absorbed in the physical existence of the Jewish, of the world. That it should change us and it should change the world to make the world a place where godliness could rest. The Zohar explains that when Yaakov Avinu, in the Parshas Vayetze, Vayishlach, Vayetze, when Yaakov Avinu did the whole thing with the sticks and the sheep and the colors and the whole story, Zohar says he was doing something similar to tefillin. But yet we know that when we wear tefillin, tefillin become holy. When Yaakov did the whole thing with the sticks remain sticks. The heaven and earth didn't mix. There was heaven, but it was all spiritual. When they did mitzvahs, they were generating spiritual energy, but the spiritual energy didn't integrate, didn't become one, it didn't elevate the physical world. The Matan Torah came about when Hashem, Vayerud Hashem al Har Sinai, when Hashem descended on Har Sinai, there was symbolic of Hashem coming into the world, the ability giving to us that the Torah and the mitzvahs could change us, could elevate us, and could change the world and be absorbed in the world, so that Hashem, godliness, could be invited into this world to make this world, as we call it, a Dira B'Tachtoinim, a dwelling place for Hashem in this world, so the world becomes a godly place. That's why we interact with the world. We do mitzvahs and we bring godliness into the world every single day. That is the purpose of Matan Torah. Therefore, he explains, that's why the Yidden had to be counted. The Shalosh says that the Yidden are counted because they are Dovar Shebeminyan. They are counted product. Counted product doesn't become bottle. So we asked, yes, but they are counted product even before we count them. So therefore, why do we need to actually count them? And the reason is, it goes to the heart of what Matan Torah is all about. It's not enough that intrinsically the Jew should be a counted and valuable product. Because the whole idea of Matan Torah is to reveal the holiness in the world, the counted product that the Jewish people are, the specialness, the special mission, the great connection that we have with Hashem, has to be translated into the physical reality, has to become obvious in the world. And therefore, it's not enough that we have the intrinsic value, which is intrinsic in its sense that it's detached from the rest of reality. Maybe no one knows about it, but oh yes, okay, we'll survive. We won't become bottled, but because we are intrinsically valuable, but it's not enough. The intrinsic value, everything that is there in the spiritual realm must be translated, must be applied, must be obvious in the spiritual, in the physical world. And that's why it's not enough that we have our intrinsic value. We actually have to have the counting in the physical existence, in the physical reality, in the physical routine, so that that value becomes not something that is intrinsic, but something that is obvious and revealed and noticed and impacts the rest of the world and the rest of existence. And with this, he explains a very interesting thing. The Torah says that the Jewish people have to be counted, but mi ben eshrim shona v'maylo, only from 20 years old. Why? What happened before 20 years old? He says like this, if we explain the idea or the necessity of counting is not to give the Jewish people their intrinsic value, but to rather translate that intrinsic value in the physical reality, now we can understand why it's more important from 20 years old. Because the way our life is structured, the Pirkei Avos tells us, ben esrim lirdoif. When a person turns 20, it's time now to pursue earning a living, start engaging with the world in a much greater way. Meaning that the ideal situation is that when a person grows up, before they hit 20, their main occupation, their main focus should be spiritual development. Learning Torah, being absorbed in an environment of Torah, learning in yeshiva, learning, connecting to Hashem, much more in the environment of Kedusha. When it comes 20, what 20 symbolizes is now the journey begins of taking that Kedusha and letting it impact the world, revealing it into the world and engaging with the world and bringing it in to the physical reality, the physical existence. That's why that's the point where you didn't have to be counted. The intrinsic value exists before, but it's mi ben eshrim, from 20 years old, where the idea of translating that intrinsic value, to reveal it, to make it obvious in the rest of existence, that starts from the age of 20. So here we have two ideas of what Parshas Bamidbar comes before Shavuos. One is the idea of humility as a prerequisite to Torah, which ties into the counting of the Omer, which is the idea of being humble enough to integrate the Middos, etc., etc. And also the idea of translating the intrinsic value to make it obvious into the world. Have a wonderful week. At this time, I'll take the opportunity of wishing everyone a good Yontif for Shavuos. We should be mekabel the Torah, because every year this happens again. We have to take these lessons again, reflect on them, and we should experience Kabbalah Satorah with great joy, besimcha ubipnimius, with the ability to internalize the message that the Torah is giving us, that Matan Torah is giving us, and bring down all the brachas which is associated with Torah and mitzvahs. Have a wonderful day, good Shabbos, and a good Yom Tov.